And joining me right now here on the phone line to go over the latest on March Madness, this guy does a great job covering college basketball and especially the ACC for the Augusta Free Press, is my good friend Chris Graham. Chris, how you doing today?
I'm still running a little bit on fumes from the ACC tournament last week in terms of being up late and there all day, but March Madness is here. I'm not done yet.
You were there to see NC State's run, a miracle run. 5 wins in 5 days. How crazy of a run was that by the Wolfpack?
They were down 10 to Louisville on Tuesday in the first round. I mean, a Louisville team that fired its coach, you know, within a few hours of losing that game. So to go from that, and, you know, this State team had lost its last 4 regular season games. They had really struggled down the stretch. They had been a fringe NCAA tournament team for a while this season and played themselves way out of that. To go from that to then, you know, beating Syracuse and then Duke and then Virginia and then North Carolina in their 5th game in 5 days, you know, guys in the second half of that game with Carolina having cramps and just all kinds of, you know, physical and mental and, you know, and issues and everything else from being, you know, so hardworking all week. It's amazing that they beat those teams in succession. Again, Duke, Virginia, and Carolina, all 3 teams that made the NCAA tournament, they beat them on no legs. It's unprecedented in the ACC, and it's only happened once in another Power 5 conference. UConn did it way back in 2014. So just an amazing run.
Doesn't this sound like the 1983 Jimmy V run for NC State?
In some ways, yes, but in some ways, no, because that team was pretty good. That's the 83 team, that is. You know, Derek Wittenberg was a star player on that team, and he had missed a good bit of that season. He broke his ankle in an early ACC game. I think it was in January of that year, and missed like 6 weeks. Mm. That team at the time they were playing Virginia that night, actually. The Virginia team with Ralph Sampson that was number 1 in the country, and they were beating them when he broke his ankle. They lose that game. You know, and if he gets healthy, gets back in the, you know, in the mix right before the end of the regular season, no, that was a pretty good team. This NC State team was not good. There was, you know, I said they were on the fringe of NCAA tournament consideration back in like mid-January, but they had not been playing anything close to NCAA tournament caliber basketball for at least a month and a half. And they were playing in the first round on Tuesday in the ACC tournament for a reason. They had earned that spot. And for them to then go out and, you know, they beat a Syracuse team that was on the NCAA tournament bubble. Then they beat Duke. Then they beat Virginia. And then they beat North Carolina, a number 1 seed. If it's possible, this is better than that NC State story.
All right, I have a question. So you cover Virginia. What was it like that bank shot went in to force overtime?
That was the 2nd straight night Virginia had given up a shot to force overtime at the buzzer. Boston College had done it the night before. The reporter sitting next to me said, how many times has that happened in NCAA history? 2 straight nights a team makes a shot to go to overtime. So it wasn't surprising. It's weird to say.
It was a bank shot, though. Bank 3.
A bank 3 that did a couple victory laps as it was going down through the rim or through the net. What was more surprising was that State, because they were at that stage, they were only in their 3rd game in 3 days. Well, no, that was, I'm sorry, their 4th game in 4 days.
Oh, okay.
You know, had to clarify there. The assumption was even when they played Duke the night before, man, they're going to be really tired. You know, they're playing their 3rd game in 3 days and Duke played their 1st game of the tournament. Mm. The surprise thus with the State-Virginia game was that they had legs in overtime to be able to still go out and win that game then. Virginia has had its share of heartbreak. I was in Orlando I was down with you in Orlando.
That's right.
March when a guy hit a 3-pointer from 30 feet with 2 seconds left to knock Virginia out of the tournament. So that kind of thing happens in Virginia basketball.
I could see that. You know, I felt sorry for the Gators where they played 4 days in a row and they ran out of gas against Auburn. But it appears, no, NC State can do it. They can. My question for you is, Chris Graham, with the Augusta Free Press, before we get to your actually picks for the tournament, NC State, I know, is a little brother to Duke and Carolina. So in the history of that program, how big was it to whoop North Carolina's butt on Sunday or Saturday night to win the ACC tournament?
Oh, I mean, yeah, for that fan base, you know, they are very much the little brother, and not even to Duke and Carolina. I mean, I know from the national perspective, you'd say, well, Duke and Carolina are right there. Like, Duke's probably a big part of this too. No, from a standpoint of people who live in North Carolina, Duke, you know, there are only a handful of Duke fans who live in North Carolina who have nothing to do with Duke University. That state's a Carolina state. You know, when you grow up in North Carolina, 90% of everybody you know roots for the guys in Tar Heel Blue. So to get Carolina in the final and win in this way, 5 games in 5 days, they're going to be a number one seed, and we're going to beat them and shoot 55% and win by double digits. I mean, you know, with a team that's played 5 games in 5 days, it should not be anywhere close to this. Oh, yeah. You know, State doesn't have to win another game. They may not. They may not have anything left when they play Texas Tech this week in the in the first round. But State fans don't care. They've already won their tournament.
I agree with you 100%. All right, so when the ACC Network on ESPN, when they're doing the, like, 30 for 30 on this run by NC State, I think you should be interviewed how they hit the buzzer beater to go to overtime. I think they need you for this.
I was sitting right behind the Virginia bench when that shot went in, and my recollection of seeing the guys on the Virginia bench was none of them were surprised. They almost expected me. I was sitting in the Virginia sectional press row. I think we all expected it to go in. So, I mean, it would have been a surprise if it didn't go in.
All right.
I'll give some good comments like that.
Let's go over this. So people are jealous of my lifestyle and all the cool things I get to do. Here's what Chris has been up to lately. So he went to Sting's final match in Greensboro, North Carolina. We talked about that a couple weeks ago on the air. He loved it. You also went to a Duke, Virginia home game right there at Cameron Indoor. Right. Then you went up to Washington, D.C. for a couple days to watch the ACC tournament. Now you're flying. This is the wildest thing I've ever heard. You're going. Say it. Where are you going?
I'm going to Dayton for the first four.
How are you? Where are you flying to Dayton, Ohio?
Yes. Actually, surprisingly, you can actually fly to Dayton, Ohio. Yeah. I've got to fly from Charlottesville to Charlotte. You can't fly, straight there from Charlottesville. So I've got to go out of my way, which would be a 5-hour drive to Charlotte and then make the flight from Charlotte to Dayton. But actually that works out because if Virginia wins the game, I mean, the winner of the Virginia Colorado State game plays Texas in Charlotte on Thursday. So I'm flying back from Dayton to Charlotte either way on Wednesday.
Wow.
The only difference is if Virginia wins the game, I'll just stay in Charlotte.
All right. If you're in Dayton, Ohio for this game, are you really at an actual NCAA tournament game?
You are. I mean, VCU made the Final Four out of the first four, like in what, 2011, I think it was. You definitely are. These two teams are teams that, I mean, I think Virginia was, I know there's a lot of people out there saying they shouldn't have gotten in the field. I think they were underseeded. I think they should have been a 10 seed. So, these are two teams that earned their way in the field. I think Colorado, they have very similar resumes. Yeah, you win the game. And here's how you know that. If you win the game, your conference gets one of those shares, as they call them. You get money for winning the game. So, yeah, it's an NCAA tournament game.
Are you – look, I don't care who wins the game. I need to know more about this adventure. So are you just getting a hotel for the evening in Dayton, Ohio, a place you've probably never been before?
Oh, I've never even thought about going to Dayton, Ohio in my life. I don't know why anyone would think – no offense to Dayton, Ohio. If anybody out there is listening from Dayton or the Dayton folks, get a clip of this. You know, I don't mean to offend, but who dreams of going to Dayton, Ohio? I'm actually flying tonight, so because the game is tomorrow night, and I don't want to be flying day of. So, yeah, I'll be staying two nights in Dayton.
Two nights. Oh, my God. Yeah. Can this be like the plot to Roadhouse? Forget this, like, new one with Jake Gyllenhaal. It needs to be you're in Dayton, Ohio, and then you go to some, like, Double Deuce type bar. Can you make this happen?
I can work on it because there's nothing to do tonight, and there's really nothing to do tomorrow. So I could do whatever I needed to do tonight because I'll just sleep. Virginia plays at 9:30 tomorrow night.
Oh,
And there's nothing to do. I mean, you know, again, I mean, the Dayton Chamber of Commerce can send me an email and tell me all the great things I can do there tomorrow during the day. But no, I'm staying at a hotel on the university, apparently on the University of Dayton campus. It's the University of Dayton Marriott or something like that.
Nice. You can party with the kids. Come on.
I can party with this right here. I can find some of the wild and crazy Dayton Flyer kids. And, maybe what, Obi Toppin? Maybe he can come hang out with me or, whatever. But there's a game tomorrow night. I mean, there's a game before ours. It's the 16 versus 16 game. I don't think I'll make that one, to be fair.
You're a great man. His name is Chris Graham of the Augusta Free Press. All right. Does it even matter who your picks are for the Final Four after what we saw for the last 5 months? I don't know if my picks matter anymore.
I don't think they matter because all I can find is flaws in everybody. I got the bracket in front of me. I knew we were going to be talking about this. Everybody, I mean, the three of the four number one seeds lost their last game. Two of them lost in pretty impressive fashion. Houston scored 41 points and got beat by 28 in their last game. They're a one seed. UConn is, UConn, everybody says UConn versus the field. They've lost three games this year, two of them by double digits. They're not invulnerable. There's some possible upset picks. I know when I was watching the CBS broadcast last night of the field being announced, the first thing I think Seth Davis said was, "Boy, I'm going to pick JMU over Wisconsin." I'm JMU's in my backyard. JMU's 30 miles up the road from me here where I'm in Virginia. JMU hasn't played a top 100 KenPom ranked team in 2 months. So, they have a 31-3 record, but, I know that's a popular 12-5 pick. Florida Atlantic kind of stands in the way of UConn, theoretically. That 8-9 game, Florida Atlantic versus Northwestern, if Florida Atlantic wins that game, they'll play UConn second round. They could knock UConn out. So, I mean, there's all kinds of pitfalls here. I don't know that – yeah, I mean, we can say who we think is going to win, but I don't know if it's going to matter that much, right?
Have you won a bracket challenge before?
I've never even come close, no. I think it's the factor. I mean, you might have a similar experience. I mean, I want to say it's because I think too hard about it. I'll start doing the analytics and all the stuff I do as a journalist. And man, you can overthink this stuff too much. Just because that's the first time there's an upset in your bracket, you're done.
I've never won it either. And this is the thing. You and me cover college basketball. We watch it all the time. And you still have no idea. My thing is, though, look, just take your heart out of it. Just go with one of the big boys. Because that's what always happens. I get it. We have Cinderella runs, like you're saying. FAU made it last year. Who was it? San Diego State made the title game. But UConn get it done. Of those teams, I'll put you on the spot, Chris Graham. You got Houston. You got UConn. You got North Carolina. Those types of teams. Which one do you like the best if you were going to bet on one?
So the 4-1 season, throw Purdue in there too. My heart goes to teams who play defense. So I would probably say Houston. Because I cover Virginia, 365 days a year, and Virginia plays defense like Houston, or Houston plays defense like Virginia, whichever you want to say. Play a tempo, slow the tempo down, strangle teams to death with your defense. I like teams who play that way this time of year. They're tough to play. You don't want to play them. You don't want to go into a brawl with the Houston. UConn obviously has a lot of talent. Credit to the folks there. They spent a lot of money on NIL. They've got a lot of players for Dan Hurley. Dan Hurley is a very pugnacious man. I'm being very nice when I say that as a coach. So, if I had to pick, I would lean towards Houston. I mean, Purdue. Now, here's where I'll throw in for Purdue. The last time a number one seed lost to a 16, that team the next year won the national championship. That's the team I cover, Virginia. They lost to UMBC in 2018. They won the national championship in 2019. We'll see if history can repeat itself in that respect. Purdue has answered all the questions all year long, just like the Virginia team did back in 2019. Every time they went to a opponent's arena, every time they had a post-game press conference, it was, what about UMBC? You get tired of hearing that. It motivates you. It makes you want to, go out there and prove everybody wrong. So Purdue comes in as a number one seed with a huge chip on its shoulder. So I'll give them a boost there.
I like Auburn. I what they did to Florida yesterday, I mean, just completely pushed them around and like you said, play defense. But again, I have no idea at the same time. I don't know. I've been doing this my whole life. I'm just at that point. We had so many court stormings this year. Remember, you and me were breaking this down. We were discussing, should we ban court storming after a while? That's how bad it was, Chris.
Well, that was just because it involved Duke, you know. I mean, they play Vermont in the first round. I don't know that they court stormings are very popular in NCAA tournaments. I don't know that I've seen any. But, you know, if the Duke kids lose, it becomes a national story. So even though they're just a four seed this year. This year's tournament to me, and I've been thinking this for months, this year's tournament is as wide open as I've ever seen it. You know, there are years we've had dominant teams that still didn't win. That Kentucky team from a few years ago that was undefeated going into the tournament. But this year, I mean, yeah, again, UConn is looked at as the team to beat. But they're not indomitable. They've lost three times. They beat a St. John's team that didn't make the tournament by 5 points the other day. You know, they can be beaten. And I look at their bracket. In the East, you know, I mentioned Florida Atlantic as a potential second round game. They have a potential third round game with either San Diego State or Auburn. You know, Sweet 16 matchup perhaps with one of those two. That's a tough field. I don't know that I would be very happy. And then Iowa State's on the bottom of that, and I think Iowa State got the short end of the stick. They should have been a one seed. So they did. The folks in the selection committee did not make it easy for UConn to even get back to the Final Four.
No, they did not. All right. So your game plan is you're going to Dayton, Ohio.
Yeah.
Then you're going to try to go to Charlotte, and then what? Pass out?
Oh, I don't know, man. I tell you, I don't think Virginia's going to. I'm not even looking past tomorrow night's game from a standpoint of coverage for Virginia, but you know if they. You know, Texas is the first round matchup. I guess I have to go to that. It's still the first round. They have to play their way to the first round. Texas as a seven seed is very gettable. Then it would be who would it be? It'd be the two. I'm not looking this far, so I have to tell you. Let's see, Texas, and then it'd be Tennessee. I mean, you know, Tennessee's been playing well, but if Virginia were to get past Tennessee, no doubt I'm going to Sweet 16. So. I'm
You're
already learning
man.
On teams, Mark. I don't know where I'll be next week at this point if I'm still covering basketball with Virginia.
Did you like the tournament being in Washington, D.C.?
No, just for – these are first-world problems. But, man, that arena, the Capital One Arena, is also it's a dual-purpose arena with hockey. And it was 80 degrees in D.C. last week, which is great for this time of year. Up, you know, this far up the seaboard, but they had to keep the arena really cold to keep the ice from melting. That arena was freezing cold all week. I don't know if you could tell in my voice, I've got a horrible cold now, like I'm talking nasally. So, you know, and I'm there all day. You know, I was there for three games on Tuesday, four on Wednesday, four on Thursday, two Friday night, you know, all these games, and you're there in this freezing cold arena, and then you go outside and it's 80 degrees. So, man, you know, no, don't. Let's not go back to D.C. Let's go back down to, you know, Tobacco Road. Let's play in Greensboro and Charlotte. We don't have any ice under the floor. But D.C. is, I mean, I've hung out. I'm a distance runner, so I ran by the White House every day. You know, I did a 6 mile run around the White House and the Lincoln Memorial and all that fun stuff. But man, that arena. Let's never go back there, please.
You're like Captain America. That's what that sounds like. That's one of those movies where he's run by the Lincoln Memorial. Man, you're just living the dream. You are. You went, like I said before, you went and saw a game at Duke at Cameron Indoor Stadium. What's that experience like?
I don't want to disabuse anybody of their dreams, but that place it's underwhelming. I've not been there for a Duke Carolina game, and I can imagine it's probably a different environment there. But I've now been to two Duke Virginia games in Cameron, and neither experience was that good. Now the game I saw this year was a blowout, and it was over pretty early. The one I saw 10 years ago was a close game, team down to a shot in the last 5 seconds. But yeah, I think it's a little overrated. I mean, it's a, the building itself is 80 plus years old, and it looks and feels like it's 80 plus years old. If you're used at all to going to, you know, anything resembling a modern arena, this is like a big high school gym. And, it's, you know, the sound system, is not very good. You know, again, if you're used to modern amenities, they have a really tiny scoreboard with a really tiny video screen. I sat in the upper section, such as it is. It's not a very big arena, so the upper section is actually, my seats in the upper section there were as good as my seats at Virginia games on press row in the lower section. It's not a very high arena, but there's no sound up there. So, you know, it makes me think, and I've actually been there. I was there for another game. I think they played Gardner-Webb in a, you know, December, you know, guarantee game. I've never been there where the sound – I think we've been sold a bill of goods, Mark, what I'm trying to get at. I think that Dick Vitale – you know, you must have been paid a lot of money to talk about how great the environment is, because it ain't that great of an environment, if you ask me.
You hate Duke. I get it. That's your answer.
That, but
you hate them.
I took my wife with me trying to, you know, show her a great experience, and we both left thinking, our arena.
Well, you got blown out, too. That's the problem with this story.
No, but that gave us more opportunity. We weren't watching the game. We were just kind of seeing what they do. No, we were, you know. It would have been different if it was a close game. Then we would have hated Duke for winning a close game. No, they were beat.
All right.
That game was over 5 minutes in.
Do I lose my friendship card with you that I actually dated a woman who graduated from Duke?
Ooh, well, you dated. That's past tense.
Yes, this is so true.
That means that it's over, and that's, you know, that means you have good judgment. So, no, I think the friendship card, in fact, that strengthens the friendship card. Yeah.
I've never said this before on the air. I've actually gone out with a former Florida Gators cheerleader. Does that get me brownie points with the fan base?
Oh, I mean, I can't. So here's the thing. I can't believe you never said that before on the air. I would start every show with that.
Every show should start with that conversation.
Every hour of every show, you need to like have that as a bumper, you know?
The best part of all my friendships with all my buddies is I will show photos and they're like, "You dated her?" "Yeah, I did. How did you do that?" "Thanks. I appreciate that. You really believe highly in me."
I was trying not to say that, but I mean, I can see that. Yeah.
I like you're going to take that propeller plane to Charlotte today. That's my other thoughts. I've been on this plane before. You're living the dream.
Oh, yeah, you definitely have out of and into Charlottesville. It's only a 45-minute flight.
You're going to do it. Yeah, look. Just have every tournament in Orlando. There's nonstop flights. There's plenty of hotels that are cheap. We got multiple arenas. Just have everything in Orlando. That's how I feel.
And you have warmth this time of year,
which is also
very key for those of us who don't have warmth this time of year.
All right, real quick, who's your pick to win the championship?
I'll stay with Houston, even though they got obliterated in the Big 12 championship game. I think they'll use that as motivation, and I like their defense.
Houston,
I'll go with Houston.
Houston it is. Chris Graham, August Free Press, thanks for your help, and have a great day.
Thanks, Mark.